Good morning, Harbor.
Good morning.
I'm impressed to see so many of you here. Because the Sunday between Christmas and New Year's is kind of this limbo week, you know. You don't know what day it is, you don't know what time it is. You're between two holidays of celebration. It's just kind of this uncertain time. So I'm very impressed you are all here. The Sunday between Christmas and New Year's is also National Youth Pastor Preach Day, because all the other people want a week off from preaching, which is why I'm up here. I'm Jeff, I'm Director of Family Life, and I'm happy to see you all. Happy New Year, and Merry Christmas, of course, but Happy New Year. I love this time of year because we are ending 2019 and we're about to enter 2020. And at the end of the year, every year, I'm not telling you anything new, but at the end of every year, we get reflective. We start to think about what this past year brought us, what this past year was, what we have done, the choices we've made, who we have been. And then we get to look forward to the coming year of what we want to change, how we want to be made better, and how we want to be made new. And I think this will be especially true this year because not only are we ending a year, we're ending the decade. And so we can reflect on the last 10 years and look forward to the next 10 years. And that's where we are, in between, kind of like waiting for the new year to come, but we're looking forward to how we want to change as we enter into this new year. And we're going to hear and see this phrase that you already saw on the screen before, and that is, new year, new you. It is a phrase that is all over social media. People joke about it. It's overdone, it's cliche, and it's cheesy, and I love it. We want to change. We want to be made better. And I think if you need an opportunity or a motivator to be made new, to change, then a passing of a calendar year is the perfect opportunity to do so. So we're going to talk a little bit about being made new. I looked up the top New Year's resolutions for the past few years, and because, you know, when you want to be made new, you make New Year's resolutions. And so I looked up the resolutions for the last few years, and the top 10 were almost always the same. The top three were all health and appearance related. Everyone wants to eat better and diet and go to the gym. And then some other ones were about habits, ending some habits, starting new habits. And then the other remainder were usually about relationships and improving or sustaining the relationships that we have in our lives. And I've had every single one of those resolutions, as I'm sure you have as well. There's something predictable about the changes we want to make, because there is something within us, there's something within our characters, within all humans, that's part of the human condition, is that we want to change. We want to be made new. And it tells us something about ourselves, which is that we will always be dissatisfied by something in our lives. We will always be dissatisfied with something that we are doing or the way we are acting or something externally in our lives. There is always something we want to change. I think it would be hard to find someone in this room that couldn't make a New Year's resolution, even if just a small one. Because ultimately, deep within ourselves, we don't believe we are enough, good enough, or healthy enough, or a good enough friend or family member. There's always something we want to change. And this dissatisfaction within our hearts actually speaks to something biblical. It speaks to the fact that we are made in the image of God, which we learn in Genesis, but we are also broken images of God. That we reflect God poorly. And this is seen throughout Scripture. For one instance, Paul, who is as close to Christ-likeness as we can see in a person in Scripture, even he says he is a wretched man, and that even though he wants to do good, evil is right there with him, and that he calls himself the chief of sinners. We are broken images of God. We are imperfect, and biblically, we are meant to be dissatisfied with ourselves because we are not the fullness of the created beings we were meant to be. And so every year, we feel this a little more intensely. We critique our lives, and we make resolutions. As if something we can do in our power can make us feel whole. As if some resolution, some change can make us feel better. As if shedding a few pounds or quitting smoking or reading more will fill the God-shaped hole in our hearts. Timothy McMahon King is an author, and he recently wrote a book on addictions, and he calls these things finite answers to infinite longings. that we go after these finite, limited, temporary things to fulfill these infinite desires in our heart, to be made whole, to be connected to the divine, to be restored to our perfect image of God within us. But I think we all know that our resolutions, our changes will not satisfy us, that they are finite, that they can never sustain or fully satisfy this brokenness within us. And there is good news, of course, there is good news, and that is that Christ offers transformation within us. Scripture offers a real and radical transformation for us all. And we see this in 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has gone, and behold, the new is here." It is saying that when we are in Christ, we are not just changed, we are not just made better, or we don't just sin less. It says we are made completely new. That the old version of you is passed away. The old version of you has died, and a new version of you has come to be made whole, to be united with God. And we see this a lot in Scripture. We see it again in Romans 12:2 that says, "Do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." This talks about transformation, the patterns of this world that you conform to pass away, and you are transformed by the renewing of your mind into a new likeness in Christ. So what this shows us is that there is something within us that is not working. There is something, some version of ourself that needs to pass away. And this old self, this version that passes away, is our ego. It is our selfish desires. And it's more subtle too. It's this need to be liked within us, this need to find our value in people respecting us, or our need to be right, which I'm sure a lot of us felt over the holidays with family. It's our need to be a good friend. It's our need to be seen as valuable, or a need to keep the peace. It is this part within us that we feel like we need something, and when we get it, it is unfulfilling. And that part of us needs to die. And so God sees this within us. He sees our propensity to go after these finite things, and he sees us being unfulfilled. He sees that it's not working, and he offers us transformation. And this transformation, it is a transformation within us that we become one with God, where Christ is in us and we are in Christ. Our values change, our identity changes, and our source of contentment changes from the finite to the infinite. And 2 Peter tells us that what this looks like is when we are made new, when we are a new creation, the one phrase I take out of this is that it says we may participate in the divine nature. In our new creation, we get to participate in the divine nature. That means that we get to be part of what God is doing. We get to participate in the things that God does and partake in the things that God is. We become God to the world, reflected to the world, and we get to partake in the divine narrative that God is unfolding on this earth. We get to take away our old stuff, throw that away. It goes away. It's not our stuff, our desires. It is instead God within us, connected to something bigger and better than we could have ever imagined. And that is good news, and it is true. And if it were Sunday school, if this were a lesson for kids, this is where I would end. I would say, as you go out today, don't worry or don't think so much about the changes you can make, the New Year's resolutions you can make, but instead think how you can be changed by God. Be changed by God. Become more of a partaker of the divine nature, because it's not new year, new you, it's new year, new creation. That is great, and it is good, and it is true. But this is not Sunday school. And I think we all know there's more to the story. So if you're willing and ready, I want to go deeper. Because we all know what happens to our New Year's resolutions, right? We break them. My friend is a trainer at a gym, and he says the busiest time at the gym is the first 3 weeks after New Year's. The first 3 weeks of January, the gym is jam-packed with people who are all owning up to their New Year's resolutions. And that's great. People are trying to make change. They're going after what they want to see be made better in themselves. But then inevitably, By the time February hits, the gym is just as empty as it's ever been. Because people don't do a good job about following through with their resolutions. They don't do a good job about changing. Does anyone remember their New Year's resolutions from last year? And has anyone kept their New Year's resolutions from last year? If you have, good for you. I remember I made one last year, a resolution to read more and to watch less Netflix. My goal was to read 12 books in 12 months, and if we're being generous, I read 6. Do you know how many Netflix shows I watched? Me neither. Because there's something within us that doesn't stick to our goals, that we don't follow through on the way we want to be made new. So what is it? Why don't we stick with it? It's because we don't see the results we want to see. We are not changed in the way that we expected. You know, you can go to the gym, but if the pounds aren't shedding quick enough, or maybe you shed the pounds and you're not feeling any more satisfied by yourself, you give up. Or maybe it's not getting any easier to say no to cigarettes or say no to a drink. Maybe it's not getting any easier to interact with your family because they haven't changed. And it's still difficult and boring to read your Bible. So these New Year's resolutions, we don't stick with them because we don't see the results that we want. We're not changing in the way we expected. And this, I believe, is true with the transformation that we have in God. Because when we are promised transformation in God, when we are promised to be a new creation, we are promised in Scripture that the old will pass away. We are promised that we will be made new. We are promised that everything will get better, that we'll see God more clearly, that we'll be more generous, we'll be loving, we'll be forgiving. It'll all be good. But that transformation that we're promised is not always the one we get. Sometimes, even after you are made new, even after you have experienced transformation, you still can't hear God that easily. It's still hard to pray. It's still easy to jump back into that old self, to find value in being loved or respected. It's hard to be forgiving. It's easy to fall into anger, which adds to our biblical dissatisfaction of ourselves, because we were promised transformation and then that is not who we are. It is not what we are seeing. We are not seeing the transformation in our real lives. And so a lot of the times we give up. It feels like we are not transformed in the way we are promised. But the truth is, you are a new creation and you are a work in progress. You are a new creation and a work in progress. Because our God is a God of progress, and our God is a God of process. We're living in this funny time in God's narrative of this earth, of the story that God has been unfolding, in something that people call the already and the not yet. That Christ has already come to earth. Christ has already fulfilled the promises that he was prophesied to make. So we are already in the time of the kingdom of God on earth with Jesus, but we are not yet made complete. We are not yet fulfilled. There is still evil and sin and badness in this world. We are already in Christ, but we are not yet complete. So yes, the old has passed away, and yes, the new has come, and yes, we have been born again, but we are not there yet. And it's hard to feel like we've been transformed when we are looking ahead and not there yet. But the thing about not being there yet, the thing about the transformation is that in Scripture, when transformation is promised, if we look at the Greek and Hebrew, we are not necessarily always promised immediate and full complete transformation. That is there. But there are some verses I want to look at that actually use verbs that are not immediate, but they are progressive, that they are ongoing verbs. Colossians 3, 9 and 10 says, "You have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self." And that's the transformation. Old self gone, new self here. And then it says, "which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator." This verb is being renewed. It is continual. It is ongoing. It is progressive. So you have been transformed. You are a new creation, but you are also a work in progress. And some of the transformative verses that I read before also have those verbs in them. Romans 12:2 talks about being transformed by the renewing of your mind. That verb being transformed is progressive. And that's true with 2 Peter as well, where you may become partakers of the divine nature. It says you may become partakers, that you grow into it. It is transformed, but it is progressive. It moves on. It is transformative, and over and over and over again, you are being renewed into the likeness of Christ. And so we are moving towards something. We are moving towards a fullness of this transformation. We are transformed, and then we are moving towards something. And so Peter goes on, when he's talking about partaking in the divine image, he goes on to talk about what it looks like to be a partaker of the divine nature. And he says, for this very reason, make every effort to add, and this is important that he says add, because it stacks on each other, to add to your faith goodness, to your goodness knowledge, to your knowledge, self-control, to self-control, perseverance, to perseverance, godliness, to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. We're not going to go through all those, and they're not very surprising of what it means to be Christ-like, but the important part is that they add on to one another. And he goes on to say, for if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they'll keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord. We are in process. These things that we are transformed, but we are in process, growing to become more like this, partaking more and more in the nature of God every day. It's kind of like this. A few weeks ago, I decided I wanted to cross-country ski. It's something I kind of did in the past, but like that's not who I am. And I said, you know what, this winter, I want to be a skier. I want to start cross-country skiing. And so I broke out some old cross-country skis, I put them on, and I fell. Actually, I spent about 10 minutes trying to get the skis on, and then I fell. So I was a skier. I am a skier now, and that's fun. But I fell. And then I got up, I got my balance, and I took a step, and then I fell. And I got up, took a few more steps, and I fell. Then I got the hang of it, and I decided to go down a hill, and I fell again. Because I am a skier now, but I'm a work in progress. So the point is, I'm a new creation. I am a skier, and if you want to go skiing with me, let's go. But I'm a work in progress, so you might have to wait for me. I want to share a story about a man named Nicodemus, and we find him in the Gospel of John. And Nicodemus in John 3, Nicodemus is a Pharisee. That's very important. He is a man who is part of this group of Pharisees, and they are the leaders of religious law. They kind of control the moral code of this time. He's a Pharisee, and they are the group trying to take people down. And we see Nicodemus in John 3, and he approaches Jesus, and Jesus tells him that in order to see the kingdom of God, you must be born again. And it uses this language of birth. And you've probably heard the phrase born again before, and the language that Jesus used is about being made into a baby again, and being born again as a baby. And he doesn't mean it literally. Nicodemus calls him on that. But he's talking about transformation. He's saying, Nicodemus, this version of you is not working. This Pharisee version of you is not working. So if you want to be part of the kingdom of God, if you want to see the kingdom of God, you must be born again. You must be transformed. You must be made new entirely. From a DNA core level, you need to start over. That's the transformation we've been talking about. But we don't see how Nicodemus responds. We don't see if he reacts. We don't see if he falls to his knees to pray and to worship Jesus. The story just moves on. But we do see Nicodemus two more times. We first see him in John 7, at which point he is sticking up for Jesus to the Pharisees. He's saying, hey, Pharisees, let's settle down. Maybe our law says this guy needs a fair trial before we convict him of anything. So it doesn't show complete transformation, but it shows some growth. It shows that he's willing to turn against his people a little bit to defend Jesus. And we see him one more time at the end of John when Jesus has died. And if you know anything about the Bible story, you'll know that the crucifixion, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus is the most important part of Jesus' time on earth. It is the pinnacle, the climax of the story of God working in humanity. And Nicodemus is right at the center of it. Nicodemus and another man, they take Jesus' body, they clean it, they anoint it with oils and spices, and they bury him. And this is significant for two reasons. The first is that Nicodemus is partaking in the divine nature of God, because this part of Scripture is crucially important to God's story. And Nicodemus is taking part in it. He is participating in this narrative. And it's also important because it shows that Nicodemus was born again. Because by handling a dead body, Nicodemus would have been considered ceremonially unclean. Cleaning the bodies was a role reserved for slaves. So Nicodemus would have turned his back on his identity as a Pharisee, of his status, of his power, and instead taken on the role of a slave to clean the body of a convicted criminal. It shows that he has been transformed. It shows that he is born again. His values shifted. The core of who he was has changed. So we see that he is transformed, but we also see that it doesn't happen all at once, that it took time for Nicodemus. And we got to watch him grow in his identity in Christ. We got to watch him change and transform and become more into the created image of God that he was made to be. Because he is a new creation and he is a work in progress. There's a trend this year, as the decade comes to a close, it's a 10-year glow up, where people are posting their pictures from 2009 to 2019. And because I like to embarrass myself, I have mine. One is 2009, Jeff, and the other one is from me this summer. And they're funny. Both of them are kind of funny. And I'm not trying to be arrogant saying it was a glow up. I'm just saying there's clear change. But it's easy to look at these pictures and say, oh, look at that transformation. Look at one version of you and look at this version of you now. To look at this transformation, say it was one-time thing, that it was just one and done. But as it goes with growing up, with changing, I had to go through 1,000 versions of me to get from A to B. I had to change my style. I don't wear Led Zeppelin t-shirts anymore, but I'm thinking about bringing it back. I've had to change my hairstyle a lot, and a lot of you have seen some good and some bad versions of that over the years here. But I've also had to change who's speaking into my life. I've had to change places I've been, places I've lived. I've had to change the way that I think, the way that I process my emotions. I've changed the way that I relate to God. I've changed the way that I pray and read. My understanding of my faith has changed over that time. That I had to change thousands of times to become who I am today. And I am probably better off than I was in 2009, but I am not yet complete. I am transformed, but I am still going. I am still a work in progress. I did not meet my resolution for this year, but I did read a lot more than I would have without it. And as it is when God transforms us, we are made new. We are transformed. But we're also a work in progress, moving towards better version of ourselves, a more complete and full and satisfied version of ourselves in Christ. We're always growing, always moving towards becoming a partaker of the divine nature. And if you're willing, I think we can go one step deeper. Because as we know about progress, as we know in ourselves, that progress is not always forward momentum. That we are not always just moving straight towards godliness. We are not always moving straight towards connection with God. We are not always moving forward in the way that we want. Because that's life. But that's also part of the process. That is part of being a work in progress. There are times when you might feel like you are moving forward and closer to God. But there are times when you may take a step back and say, oh, wow, I don't like who I am anymore. I used to be better. I used to be different. I used to be more connected to God. I used to be able to hear God. I used to pray more and be more generous and kind and loving. What happened? Because sometimes we are close to God, sometimes we are moving towards God, and sometimes we fall backwards. That's part of the process. Richard Rohr calls this a remembering and forgetting. He says that there are moments when it all made sense. Moments when we knew we were good, when we knew God was good, when we knew it was all good. And we were in touch with our true source of power and our spiritual desire and the indwelling Holy Spirit. There are times where we remember, where we are connected. But then there are times where we forget. Where we forget our connection to God, where we forget our identity in God, and we forget our role as partaker of the divine nature, and we fall back into our old selves. We fall back into our ego-driven desires. And we pursue again these finite answers to infinite longings. So my point is, have grace on yourself. Have grace on yourself when you feel like you have been transformed, but you are not there yet. When you are not as far along as you want to be. And have grace on yourself when you think you are farther back than you used to be. When you feel like you used to be, quote unquote, a better Christian or a better person. Because it's part of the process. And have grace on others when they are remembering and forgetting. When they are in this process of moving forward and sometimes moving back. Because God is a God of process. And in that process, he progresses and he moves us forward. Walking with God is often viewed like a tightrope. I think in this world is portrayed like a tightrope, where in order to know God more, we have a narrow line that we have to take one step at a time, very narrow, very balanced. And if we fall one way or the other, we're toast. And at the end is God waiting for us. That as we take steps forward, we become more like him. And at the end, we get to him and we are made into perfection. But I think that misses the nuance of the truth. Because becoming like our created essence, becoming more like the image bearers we were made to be, and partaking in the divine nature more and more and more every day is not like a tightrope, but instead it is a dance floor. It is a dance floor where we get to move every direction. And we are not moving towards God, we are moving with God. And God is with us, and God is leading us on the dance floor. And yes, we will step on toes, we will get moves wrong, but over time, we'll know to learn God's lead more. And we'll hear the music in our souls more intimately. One, two, three, one, two, three. And we'll get to go through the steps of remembering and forgetting and becoming more like him. Remembering and forgetting and becoming. One, two, three. One, two, three. Because we are a new creation and a work in progress. And that is why we are here, Harbor. We are all in this individually and collectively. We are all in this process together of remembering and forgetting and becoming. And so we are here for the big transformation. We are here for that new creation, for everyone here to find that new creation within themselves. But we're also here for the process. And more often than not, much more often than not, we are here for the process. We are here for the steps. We are here for the dance. So let's dance together. Let's go through the steps of remembering, forgetting, and becoming more like God. Let us find the true images of God within us, and we can partake in the divine nature more and more every day. Let's pray. God, thank you for transforming us. Thank you for the power and the beauty that you have transformed us, not by our power or our initiatives or our desires, but by you and you alone. God, I pray that you can transform us all, that for anyone who has not seen your glory can see it, has not seen your love or known your love may find it today, and that they may be transformed into a new creation. And I thank you for the process, the long, confusing process. I pray that you guide us, that you lead us in this divine dance, and help us see you more every day and move closer to you. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.